What a great hymn that is tonight we have been singing. It fits directly in with the message I want to bring with you as we're thinking about Rahab tonight. Two readings we have, first of all, in Hebrews 11 and Joshua chapter 2. Hebrews 11 and Joshua 2. The first hymn we sang tonight really dealt with the subject of peace, and it would fit in well with the message that I brought you this morning from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And the thoughts of God toward his people, well, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. We've been memorizing those verses, and I commend you. Some of you told me at the door you've been working hard on them all week. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because you know, the more you make an effort to commit God's Word to your heart, the more the Word comes alive to you. It's one thing to read it, because sometimes we read passively, but when you begin to actively commit the Word to your heart, you'll find it's a double, triple blessing to you. And so I commend you and thank you for involving yourself in that. Let's continue on in those four verses that we are committing to our heart. But that hymn we sang tonight had to do with peace, but it's also a very practical word for tonight, because in the life of Rahab, and the last hymn we're singing about God's great, marvelous grace, well, it fits in for the life of this dear saint of God who finds herself, not by her doing, but by the Holy Spirit's doing, that she is in the chapter of faith in Hebrews 11. She also appears in another book in the New Testament, the book of James. We'll make a passing comment on that tonight. Do you have your Bible open, first of all, at Hebrews chapter 11? Before we read the scripture, the last few studies we have been doing in the book of Hebrews, and we have been focusing on the life of Moses and the progress of God dealing with him from the time he left the palace until the time he went out to his time in the backside of the desert, where God developed him, caused him to grow in his faith, and he now is commencing on the major part of his journey. He's 80 years old now. And as he began that part of his journey, the Lord brought him back to Egypt to see the plagues brought upon Pharaoh and upon all the Egyptians, because they would not heed and let the Israelites go. The Lord yet had some of the greatest work for Moses to accomplish in his life. But he stood before Pharaoh, and the Lord empowered him. I want you to also notice in verse 29 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Significant indication, as the people of God, they passed through by faith on dry ground. And although I have not spoken on this verse specifically, yet it is a very important time that Israel went through, and this is, they are acknowledged to have done by faith as they crossed the Red Sea. But you may notice that between verse 29 and verse 30 of Hebrews 11, 40 years are squeezed into that zero space. 40 years between verse 29 and 30. And what strikes me about this is that the Holy Spirit does not include for us any events of faith attributed to the people of God during the time of the wilderness wandering. I think that's significant, because this was a time of testing, a time when they were sent through there primarily because of their unbelief and their disobedience to the Lord. And instead of entering into the promised land when they could have at the beginning of their exodus from Egypt, because of their disregard for the Lord and for His word and His prophet, they were taken on a rather long journey. Now, during that time period, it does not mean that there was no faith engaged either by Moses or the other godly people who were there with them. Caleb and Joshua, for example, of the two primary ones that went into the land of Canaan when all else died in the wilderness. So there were acts of faith, but what is notable to me is the silence of the Lord in between these two verses. So we come right up to the crossing of the Red Sea, and then 40 years take place. The next thing we're confronted with, well, you notice in verse 30 that the walls of Jericho are going to fall down. The walls of Jericho as they progress into the promised land. Let's read from Hebrews 11, 27, and then we'll turn back to Joshua 2. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. Joshua 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. The woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist or I knew not whence they were. It came to pass after the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them unto the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all they that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if he utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. She said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, tonight we continue in thy holy presence. We are thankful for the joy, the blessing of being in your house tonight. We pray, Father, that now, in the final minutes of our service, we would know the stillness of eternity. I pray, Father, for the help of the Holy Spirit to speak the Word of God faithfully, plainly, straightly. Dear God, take away every distracting thought. I pray that everyone listening to this Word would have the Holy Spirit's help to listen. I think, Lord, especially tonight, for any people in our service or listening who are unsaved, and I pray for the opening of their heart. Lord, do what we cannot do with human words. Speak, Lord, with the power that awakens the dead. Lord, repeat what happened in Rahab's life and heart tonight, and save precious souls, we ask. So, Lord, hear this, our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This account that we have before us tonight is one I'm expressing to you as Rahab's non-perishable faith. Rahab's non-perishable faith. Here is a situation and a story presented to us in the historical account of Joshua, and yet as these things are written for our learning, so they are included also in the New Testament and in at least two places. Rahab gives to us the answer of great hope to those who are hopeless. It gives us the picture and the story of someone who is in the city of destruction, on the road to a lost eternity, on the road to hell, and God steps in and he rescues and brings that person out and her family. And what we have in this account of Rahab's non-perishable faith is a story and a message of hope to the hopeless. A story and a message of deliverance to those who are captive in the devil's prison house. Tonight, my friend, listen carefully to the word. Because if you are without the Savior, if you are unsaved, then I pray this word will penetrate deep into your own soul. And you will be brought out to say, Lord, what must I do to receive this faith that this woman had? First of all, please with me tonight, notice Rahab, an unlikely person to have this true, unperishable faith. An unlikely person. What about the background? What's her history? Jericho, the city that was destined for destruction, was located on the north side of the Dead Sea and the west side of the River of Jordan. It was the first city that Israel was going to confront as they advanced with their armies into the promised land. As Israel approached Jordan, the news of the victories that they had already had many years ago, over 40, and the crossing of the Red Sea, significant. The fact that the historical news and evidence had traveled throughout the entire land. And about their destruction of the two kings of the Amorites as they were going through the wilderness, it spread like wildfire through all the land of Canaan. And Jericho now was on very high alert. They were trying to anticipate every move that would be made, so that when the two spies were sent by Joshua to find out and to see the lay of the land and of the city, the spies, they entered into that place, into Jericho, and they found shelter in what appeared to be a very common retreat for strangers. They went into a harlot's house. Or we could say more properly, a harlot's inn. It was a hotel of sorts. It was a place where people would find accommodation who were travelers, and they would often get more than just a place to sleep. That was the nature of this accommodation. It was the nature of this person. You see, Rahab lived in a house that was on the wall of the city. She was, as is described for us, a harlot. And it appears she kept some kind of brothel, some kind of a place to entertain the strangers that were brought into her place. Their location, the spies, was discovered, and very quickly. The king sent messengers to have them brought before him, that he could undoubtedly interrogate them and find out what the plans were. Well, Rahab took them immediately and hid them in the stalks of flax upon her roof. Rahab let them down from the wall of her house after securing an oath of safety from them. And they exchanged the words of the commitment of that oath. And there were certain expectations that the spies left with Rahab, that anyone found in her house, they would be safe. Anyone found on the outside, their blood would be upon their own head. And so as she delivered them and let them down the wall, she gave them good, sound advice not to find their way immediately back, but to go out for 3 days, because such an intensity of finding these spies, it was on the red alert of those in Jericho. They had to find them. They had to find out what the plans were. But God had another purpose, and he diverted them, and they were not found. They return to Israel, to the camp, and they relay all that they had heard and seen to their commander-in-chief, to Joshua. And it's interesting, I think, the last verse of Joshua 2 in verse 24. So they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country, they do faint because of us. There is no strength left in them. Terror from the Lord has descended on them. And now these two spies have brought the words of encouragement and of how they will receive the victory at this time. Now, what does the name Rahab mean? Rahab means proud, at liberty, something that is wide or the broad way. She lived in a godless heathen city with no concern at all for the commandments and the law of God. As a matter of fact, she belonged to a class of people of which none would be more hardened, more sold to work abomination than those in that business that she is named by. The book of Proverbs tells us that those engaged in that type of activity of immorality, their house was on the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And the person that would be ensnared by such an individual would turn into a piece of bread and not have any strength. How far is the picture and the lifestyle of this person, Rahab, from the virtuous woman spoken about in Proverbs? You see, the very house that she operated in and the profession that she had was adding to the sin for whereby God was going to destroy those nations and those peoples. Rahab's case is extremely dark and seemingly hopeless. And yet it was here, at this very den of evil, that the Almighty God chose to shine His light and the light of truth. And He caused faith to work in the heart of this heathen, sinful woman. And you ask the question, why did Rahab believe? How was it that this one person out of the entire city, was it because Rahab had something more than the other people? She certainly didn't have virtue. We don't know much about her education. But did she just inquire her way to believe that God was the Lord and He was going to deliver them into their hand? Was it because she had a particular better upbringing than anyone else? Was it because she was a member of a certain organized? All of those things, friend, pale into insignificance. And there's no reasoning behind them at all. It was God who stepped in to touch the heart of this sinful woman. Rahab is considered by many to be a sinner that is very, very deeply dyed in her way of life. And it's possible that some might think, I am glad that I am not involved in that lifestyle. Some may think, I am glad that I am not a sinner like Rahab. I am very glad that I have kept my life pure from that type of immorality, that type of filth, to give your body over to be sold for services rendered. I haven't done that. And so people begin to think, well, I'm not so bad after all. Ah, but let me tell you, my friend, that is the worst thing that you could properly think of. If you say in your heart, I'm glad I'm not like this person, you know you're exactly like the two that went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee said as he turned and said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like this publican, not like this tax collector. I'm not like this offscouring of the earth and he built himself up in his own righteousness, his own goodness. Friend, let me warn you tonight. You cannot approach God based upon your own righteousness. You can't come before the Lord and say, I'm glad I'm not a sinner like X, Y, and Z, like Rahab. Because salvation is only and always by God's matchless grace. And the sin that you and I have committed, and the sin that we have done in our thoughts, in our minds, in our actions, oh, you think on the surface it's not as bad as a Rahab, but let me tell you, my friend, the Lord knows the heart of every single person, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no man, no woman anywhere that can raise their head and say, I am clean, I am pure. No one. And so do not, my friend, dare to think that you are going to be judged by some matter of degrees and that God will pardon you because you're only an 85% sinner. You're not quite an 87% sinner. No, it doesn't work like that. We are all condemned because we are totally sinful and depraved and have fallen away from the Lord. You see, Rahab had no excuses to make before these spies, and she didn't try to make any. She was a sinner, and she knew it. And my friend, she knew that she was slated for destruction as the rest in that city. And so she didn't try to present herself as being different or better or more worthy. She simply acknowledged that the God of Israel was the God of heaven and of earth. I want you to notice, secondly, her staggering confession. Turn back to Joshua 2. Look at verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Wow. What a testimony of belief. What a testimony of faith that she is expressing. Notice the assurance that she had in her confession. She said, I know. She said, I don't think your God has done this for you, but I know he has done it for you. And she had great clarity in her confession. She said, I know that the Lord, and it's Jehovah. That's who she is referring to here. I know that Jehovah hath given you the land. My dear friend, this is a very clear identification of the God of heaven, not some tribal deity that she's referring to, one of the so-called gods that were made of either sticks or stones that many of her people would have bowed down and worshipped, and may she well have done the same thing. But she has been brought up and brought to this point in time now that she has seen something, and she now believes that the God of heaven, the God of Israel, is the only deliverer for her, the only God that she will ever put her trust and her hope and her faith in. And that's the God who she has come to. My dear friend, tonight I say this to you. This is the only salvation and God that you can come to for deliverance. It is unto the living Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think to hope to find salvation in any other, you will be sorely disappointed. You will go down the wrong pathway. And if you come to the point of your death and you have not got Christ as your Savior, then you will eternally perish. And I cannot say that to you any more solemnly than I do tonight. The perception that Rahab had, she took note of how the events concerning Israel and the workings of their God had affected her own city and country. She was watching these things. She said, "Terror is fallen upon us. The land faints because of you. Our hearts have melted, and the courage of all our mighty men have vanished away." She observed and saw. But why did not the others see it? Oh, they were afraid, all right. Their terror came upon them, but instead of submitting and repenting of their sin, they continued steadfastly, because God touched the heart of Rahab. And my friend, she didn't say that the rest of my countrymen are sinners, but I am no sinner. She included herself. She said, "Upon us, we have heard, our hearts have been affected." And here she confessed her part in the city. She confessed that she was a sinner, as all they were. But in verse 12, look what she says. "Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token." She was swearing herself by the Lord, and she was wanting them to make that same application to her. You see, salvation, my friend, is a very personal matter. You can't be saved for someone else. These spies could not be saved for Rahab. Rahab could not be saved by them per se. But she said, "I pray you swear unto to me." What distinguished Rahab's confession from all the rest? It wasn't her superior morality. No, it wasn't a higher intelligence or a better attitude. It wasn't her personality. It was her confession of faith in the Lord Jehovah, in the Redeemer of God's elect. And she was bold in her profession of a very strong confession of faith. She acknowledged that the Lord was a personal God and that He was her God. She acknowledged His absolute sovereignty as the God of heaven and of earth. She said He was sovereign in His choice of the people of Israel, and He was sovereign and righteous in judgment for sin. She made no argument about the injustice that the Lord was going to bring upon her people. No, my friend, we are confronted here in this account by the most amazing record and confession of faith. Her eyes were upon her Lord. And I say to you tonight, friend, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, because it is only through the look of faith to the Lord Jesus and to the great atoning work that He has done on the cross of Calvary. It is only if you look to Him by faith that you will have deliverance, that you will have salvation and freedom. Oh, her faith was remarkable faith. She had nothing of the privileges that Israel had. She didn't have the scriptures, not a word of scripture. She didn't have the promises. She didn't have all the feasts that Israel had. She didn't have the Sabbath days. She had no teachers. Here was a person against all odds. Some profess a faith that has great experience, that boasts great power. but not much evidence of lasting fruit. And yet faith that saves, my friend, is a very simple faith. And that was the faith that Rahab had. Here's a case that she received the spies. And she received the spies in danger of death herself. And she said, I believe Jehovah, He is the God of my salvation. And it is here at the very point in Hebrews 11 that we have read that the Holy Spirit highlights the primary evidence of her faith in verse 31. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. So the crime of those within Jericho was unbelief. They believed not. When she had received the spies with peace. It's kind of strange in one sense when you think about it. Would there not have been a different way of expressing the monumental faith that this woman expressed and showed? Would there not have been another way to have said that? But the Lord draws our attention and highlights this very point here. It was when she took those spies and she hid them, that was the marker of her faith and belief in the God of the two spies that she was hiding. Because that signed her death warrant right there to all who were in Jericho. If the king had found out what she had done, she would not have survived the day. She knew that at the very moment of taking those spies and hiding them, she was declaring her act of faith, and the Holy Spirit brings that to the forefront for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Because her faith was true, and her true faith was in the real Savior, and she was given at that time the real hope and the possession of everlasting salvation. Rahab's faith was a living faith, my friend. How did she do this? She saw Him who is invisible. By the same way that Moses was enabled to conduct himself and to do the things he did by faith, he saw the living God. And she herself saw the Lord who is invisible, and He had spoken to her heart, and she submitted herself, repented of her sin, and she trusted in the living God. You know what? God does not care about where we come from. He doesn't care, friend, tonight where you've come from. He doesn't care if you have church background or if you have no church background. He doesn't care if you've come from the gutters, the alleys, the dark places of this world. You might say in your own mind tonight, if you only knew the sinful background that I've come from. Friend, I don't care what sinful background you've come from, because it doesn't matter how far, how deep down you've gone in your sin, you're not worse than Rahab. And the Lord saved and rescued her. And the Lord can save and rescue you tonight, friend. And so as we present the glories of Christ Jesus and the glories of God's salvation, it is remarkable. Because it's a story of grace. Grace that is greater than all her sin. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Because if the Lord can save this sinner tonight, He is able to save you. She believed in the God of Israel because God had worked in her heart. She had heard all the mighty acts. And if the Lord Jesus would say to that centurion who was alive in his day, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, what would the Lord say about Rahab's faith? Oh, how great that was. The sign of her safety. They told her to tie the scarlet thread in her window. A scarlet thread, this was a very strong rope. Because it was this very scarlet rope that these spies were let down the window from her house and they were able to escape. And the two spies told her, bind this cord in your window, this scarlet thread. It will be a sign when we come in and the Lord brings down this city that everyone who is abiding under the scarlet thread will be safe. And everyone who is on the outside will be judged on their own. My friend, are you tonight under the scarlet thread of the blood of the Lord Jesus? Have you been washed in His own precious blood? Does that sign of His atonement abide on your soul? Because if it does, then you are safe and you are free and you are secured for all eternity. But my friend, if you do not have that cord bound to your heart, if you do not have the blood of Christ applied to your soul, then you are in danger tonight of being cast out on your own. Tonight, God has given you in mercy another opportunity of receiving Him. You have this night, my friend, presented to you the gospel of saving grace. And it is the Lord who gives His word. What holds you back? Young person, you've heard the gospel before. Maybe you're tired of hearing it. You've heard it so many times. But count not this a despising thing, that God has in mercy allowed you to be here in His house once more to hear His word. Don't ever despise the house of the Lord. Don't ever despise being under the gospel, because the Lord in mercy has brought you here again to give you His word. And ignore the speaker, ignore the preacher. Let this man be hidden behind Christ, and let none be seen save Jesus only. Let the word of the Lord sink into your soul and take this word from Him tonight. There is mercy. There is salvation. There is hope, my friend. And as you call upon the Lord Jesus, He will be your Savior. And you will make Him the Lord of your life. And you will find that as Rahab was delivered, so you also will be delivered by the free grace and the great love of your God to you. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our service is just about over tonight, but the Lord has spoken to someone's heart here. And if you know you're not saved, well, don't leave the meeting. Before allowing us to sit with you and open the Scripture and show you how you can know that you are truly saved by His grace. The Lord is merciful. He stands tonight at the door of your heart and He knocks. Will you open the door to Him, or will you ignore Him again? Oh, my dear friends, speak to us tonight before you leave. Father, I pray that this word would be fastened to every heart. Dear God, take it spoken in weakness, yet, Lord, use it by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are thankful for the day that You saved us, for we are sinners, as Rahab is a sinner. And dear Lord, You've spared us and forgiven us. And today we have hope, and we will rejoice to see our sister in heaven one day. And dear Lord, I pray that we might be useful and helpful in Thy kingdom. Lord, use us to be a testimony and a witness to others. Use us, we pray, to be beneficial in the work of Christ. So, Lord, save, we beseech Thee. We know that salvation is of the Lord, and we pray that that work will be done tonight. Part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.